I had the text in mind. I wanted to preach, but I wanted to make sure I could say a few things about it that would be helpful. But one of the things about preaching that is, it's so amazing, is that the best sermon outline book in the world's right here. And that what anybody can do, I don't care who you are, is if you want to talk about what Jesus and God wants for you or any Bible topic, you can see what Scripture says, and there's an outline right there. And I want to do that with you this afternoon for just a few minutes, because we've been talking about the door knocking and to try and put ourselves in the mindset of how can we reach those that need the gospel? In this morning's lesson, how can we encourage people to not only try and reach out to people, but how can we encourage those that are outside of Christ to want to respond? What can we do? Well, Paul gives an answer in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. At the end of chapter 1, Paul is trying to, verse 27 of Colossians chapter 1, he talks about the Gentiles and trying to bring them to the faith. Now, I know that technically speaking, we're all Gentiles. We're non-Jews. So we're all Gentiles. However, in the context of the book, let's keep in mind that he's talking about reaching those who are not in Christ. He's talking about reaching those, while they're Gentiles specifically, and Paul was a Jew as a Christian, and many of the people he wrote to were Jewish Christians. Colossae was not just only Jews. There was a lot of, again, Gentiles there. So how do you reach them? And the small church in Colossae, how do you tell this small group of Christians in Colossae how to reach the Gentiles amongst them? So Paul has a plan. He says, verse 27 of chapter 1, in whom God would make known what is the riches of glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what's this mystery? This mystery is the gospel, and it's Christ. So this thing to be revealed to them, remember, a mystery is something that's not been revealed yet. So to them, it's going to be revealed. To them, he wants to reveal Christ. How is he going to do that? Look at verse 28. Here's the plan. In whom we preach, or whom we preach. Who are they preaching? He just said they're preaching who? Jesus. All right, so my plan, Paul says, is to preach Jesus. Your plan, he says, should be to preach Jesus. Well, how should I preach Jesus, right? I'm supposed to preach you. How? Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. So I'm to warn, hey, you got a problem. Let me tell you how to get around it. Let me tell you how to survive this problem. There's this calamity coming your way called judgment. And there's a way, though, you can be prepared. We see these prepping commercials on TV. You know, how to store food and how to get this food, the terrible food, this MREs and things like that. They'll be good for 30 years. Well, who wants to live that long eating that stuff, right? But we have these things like make sure you're ready. And that's great advice, right? Because who knows what's going to happen. This last year and a half has been crazy, right? So we know, understand the idea of being prepared for a problem is really good idea. I guess we differ sometimes in how far to go with that, right? But we all think, yeah, I need to give some thought to what comes next if there's a problem. So Paul says, preach Jesus, warning every man and teaching every man. So tell them, hey, there's a problem here. Your way of living, your lifestyle, your current course will lead to disaster. Because judgment's coming, and Jesus wants you to be ready. Jesus wants you to be ready so much, he died on the cross for your sins. The things you've done that violated his law, he died so you can be forgiven of those things. Those things that he didn't do, but you did, he died for you so you could be forgiven of those things. So There's warning and there's teaching. That's how we preach Jesus. And to who? In verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Who's he want taught? Every man? Is that fair? Now, you're supposed to do this teaching, this warning and teaching with wisdom. Now, Psalm 129, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy word gives light. The idea of if we preach in wisdom, we're preaching by God's words. Not our words as much, but what God wants us to preach. So if I'm going to help make every man complete in Christ, I need to do it with God's words, not mine. I need to make sure I'm in him, preaching his word, warning with his warnings about what's going on. Because you look in the Bible every single time that anyone in the Bible story tries to improve upon God's plan, it's a disaster. Every single time. Going all the way back with Abraham, going back before that, Adam and Eve, every time you have man trying to speed things up or fix things for God, it ends in complete disaster. Ask King Saul about that. Don't you offer sacrifices? What did he do? He offered sacrifices. Even though he was told to wait for Samuel, then Samuel comes up on this disastrous thing taking place. He goes, why do I hear the bleating of sheep, Saul? I thought you were supposed to destroy all of those and King Agag as well. No, well, the people wanted to make sacrifice, so we kept the animals, and it's all going to be okay. What do I hear, Saul? Saul tried to improve a God's plan. Abraham, he was supposed to have a child with Sarah. They got tired of waiting. Had this child with Hagar, her handmaiden. And that led to disastrous consequences the rest of the Old Testament Bible story. And I would argue even to this day in that part of the world. So you have every time man tries to improve upon God's plan, it's bad. And it works that way with evangelism. I can't make a new plan. Jesus died for his plan, so I can't make a new one. Now man tries. Man tries to make the plan easier, better. He cuts parts away from the plan. He kind of has his way with it and tries to make it more palatable to other men. And every time there's disaster. Now, in this case, when man changes God's plan for salvation, what happens? Men believe it. And one day there'll come a judgment day when God will be the one we stand before and we will be judged. And so there'll be those in Matthew 7, Jesus said, verse 21 through 23, who say, Lord, Lord, look at what we've done. Look at the things we've done for you. We've done these mighty works. We've made a show at least of casting out demons, these kind of things. And what did Jesus say? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why? Because they tried to change the plan. So when it comes to revealing the mystery of Jesus to the Gentiles, what to them is a mystery, we're trying to reveal that mystery in that Jesus is real, Jesus' plan is the best, and Jesus is here to save you. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you or me. I think that's the problem. That's my problem. I'm not going to put it on you, but I get in the way of Jesus. My job is to get out of the way of Jesus. To get out of the way of the plan, to get out of the way of his words, just let Jesus flow through us and what we do and how we do it, but don't get in the way too much. And I tend to get in the way of Jesus' plans because, after all, sometimes I think I know better. God help us with that. God help us. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom and by God's word, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So we are to present every man. We're to present the truth to every man that we may present every man to Christ Jesus. So if I want to take this every man model, I first have to warn and teach, then present him perfect before Jesus. How? Well, someone who's been washed in the blood. So this mystery of Jesus, I can teach the gospel, and we know that the blood of Jesus washes us clean from sin, Revelation 1:5. So I know that I could present individuals, Gentiles, even non-Jews, dirty Gentiles, very unholy, unreligious people. If I teach them the gospel and warn them in Jesus, they can be perfect. And there's the hope, because I can be perfect too. Because I need help, and so do you. Paul reveals something later on in the text. In chapter 2, he warns them to be built up in Christ. He says in verse 4 of chapter 2, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding wherein therein with thanksgiving. And beware lest any man spoil you through the falsity of vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now, in this text, he tells us that God was working in him. Read all the verses from 1 to 9 there. And he says, listen, what's in me is Jesus. I'm to give you this truth of God, and that is to work in you. What's working in you, what's building you up, root and built in Christ. So I'm being built up in Jesus by Christ, by his word. Why is that important? Here's the thing. To be built up in Christ, by the wisdom of God is important because, are you ready for some truth? Are you ready? You got to nod your head. Gas for it. Because you're a mess. I'm a mess. We need Christ to be built up in us because we all are a mess. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says that we're made complete by the gospel, right? Let me read this specifically. Every time you want to quote a verse, it's gone. 2 Timothy 3, that's that nap I was telling you all about. Remember that nap? It's coming back to get me. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished to every good work." So one of the key things that this text teaches me is that I am incomplete. There's something in me that's missing. Because Scripture, it says, completes us. Scripture makes us complete. So whatever my incompleteness is, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved, so the Bible can complete that, right? Truth completes that. Or I have a weakness in me about whatever it is, the Bible completes that. So whatever incompleteness I have, the Bible completes me through the power of God, through the grace of Christ, so I can be what God wants me to be. But I'm incomplete in me, so that's why I have to have Christ built up in me, rooted in me, changing me from the inside out. Now, I do that by adhering to the wisdom of Scripture. I do that by adhering to the words of Christ. So it's not that I have the Bible and it's like an abracadabra where I just read it and it just goes to work and I'm done. It's a pursuit, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, to be changed by the words of Christ, not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So that is a process that takes place every day. So I'm built up every day, my renewing my mind in the words of God, the wisdom of God. And I am to be someone who teaches the gospel to those who need it. Remember, the Gentiles, Colossians chapter 1. So I'm to take this truth, this wisdom that roots us, that builds us up, and share that with every man. Don't pick and choose. Everybody. Why? So they can be changed by it, and then they can be presented, every man presented to Jesus on the last day. It's not just for some people. It's for every man. One of the problems with Calvinism is it says there's only an elect few. And if you're not that part of the elect few, you're out of luck. So you want to go to heaven, doesn't matter. God didn't choose you. You don't want to go to heaven, you don't even care. Too bad God's going to take you to heaven and kick and screaming. What is that? That's crazy. It's spiritual baloney. It's nuts. Makes no sense. But here we see that every man is to be taught. Every man is to be warned and then taught, rather. And then every man can be presented to Christ Jesus, those who follow his words of wisdom. Every man. So every man that accepts the warning and the truth about that, how to be saved through the words of Jesus, can be perfect before him, before our judge. That's very exciting. So there's not a lack of power on God's side. So if I want to have a, if I want to be a person who makes a difference, I warn, I teach, and I teach everybody. So when it comes to who deserves the gospel, everybody does. There's no one I'm going to overlook if I can help it. Here's the thing, though. Just like Paul, we have a very finite number of days on this earth. We have a very finite number of opportunities. We have a very finite amount of focus. I think one of the hardest things for elders to do, I mean this, is to decide the direction of the local church. Because that's completely in their purview. No, wait. What are you saying? I'm saying that while we all have to obey the gospel, amen, the Bible's right, regardless, when it comes to the thing to emphasize in the local church, that's totally the elder's thing. They're trying to decide, okay, elders are not supposed to just let things flow along without thought. They're to be those who feed the flock, right? So elders are going to be those who decide, are we going to partake in this door knocking? Are we going to endorse the thing they're doing in this program that we think is good? So are we going to take part in that? If so, how are we going to do it, right? What are we going to do? And so when it comes to any emphasis we have in the church, that is a big part of it, right? That's a major, the elders drive that. And if we as concerned members want to be part of certain things, we talk to our elders. We don't just go behind their backs and trying to get a number of people that agree with us and go to the elders and trying to strong arm them. No. We tell the elders, listen, I hope we can do more of this evangelism. I hope we can do more of this or that. I hope we can, you know, I think elders that we've had a terrible year, last year or two, on all the health stuff and all the politics. It's just some of us even getting worse now and some of us gotten better. Hey, what should we do? And while I haven't been told this by the elders, I think, oh, well, maybe we can have some sermons on encouragement. Because maybe we need that. So there's this idea of driving the ship that works in the local congregation by the elders. But we reach people with this gospel that we warn, chapter 1, verse 28, and we teach with, again, verse 28, to reveal this mystery that we can present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the price, though. Here's the price, verse 29. Whereunto I labor. How many of you are using a King James Version? Anybody? I like the word labor here, L-A-B-O-U-R. It just sounds more regal, right? Labor in the King James. Is it like that in the New King James? Is it also labor? Is it? So this idea of the spelling labor, or labor, it's the same word, but it just struck me as, well, I'm weird, I guess. But this idea, the price of this is laboring. So if I want to present every man that I can possibly reach in Christ Jesus, sanctified by the word of God, made wise by the word of God, made complete by the word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, then I need to labor. I need to do what the Bible says. I need to strive to do that. So I need to, I labor, verse 29, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So this idea, again, we talked about how we're a mess. Verse 29 is what it's talking about. Verse 29 says, listen, this working, this idea of striving, this idea of the gospel of Jesus is working in me mightily. So God's trying to fix me with his word and trying to practice his words, his truth. So as I imbibe the word of God, it makes me stronger. Remember Psalm 119, thy word, if I hid my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We talked about Philippians 4, 7 this morning in Bible class. That through my prayers and supplications, I am kept. I am kept by those prayers. That whatever that means exactly, it's telling me that my prayers help keep me in a kept place when it comes to God and his word and his will. So prayer actually is not just me asking God for stuff I want. I'm coming to him with thanksgiving. And that process, that idea that God says pray to me and I pray to him and I just really spend my mind doing all those things God wants and I really talk to God like my father, that helps keep me in the spot God wants me, to keep my heart pure and to keep my heart soft and to keep me walking in his words. That's how it works. So he goes, whereunto I labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So I'm here before you today as someone who, like you, is a mess. But if I follow God's wisdom, if I pray, if I study, God's word works in me through Jesus, in Jesus, and I can be someone who helps reach the Gentiles in this mystery of Jesus. I just have to strive. I have to work. I have to labor. I have to make sure I, with wisdom, take the word to them and show them the need for it. And then here's how you fix the problem. There's a problem. Here's how you fix it. I don't know if it correlates at all to what we're looking at here. But I know when it comes to trying to be persuasive, if you're a salesman, what you're told, I've never been a professional salesman, I would be terrible at it, I guarantee you. But they tell you, okay, you have to tell people there's a problem. Right? Hey, there's a crisis. This is a big deal. You got to be ready. You got to act. And then what's step two? I have just a solution for you. I have just a thing that can help you get by this problem. I'm not saying the Bible's trying to sell some stuff here. I'm simply saying that the idea of realizing there's a problem is the first step before you realize you can solve it. And in Jesus, we have the perfect solution, and we just simply have to go ahead and make this mystery known by warning and teaching to every man and make sure we do our part by striving, laboring to make that so. That's Paul's plan, and I think it's a good one, don't you? That's a perfect model for us to say, how can I make a difference in my life? What can I do? Well, it's going to take work. It's going to take going to the Word to be completed by it. It's going to take preaching. Because the whole thing here is, he's talking about preaching, but I challenge you, because I think when he's talking about preaching Jesus, I don't think he's talking about simply a located pulpit preacher. He's talking to the Colossian brethren about how they should preach with their lives, with their everyday words, with their everyday living, how they're going to preach, how they're going to show Jesus to others. Remember, we're the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth. How can you present yourself to others that may cause them to want to respond to you? But it's not going to happen just by people driving by and seeing a church sign. And I wish it did. I really wish it did. I wish that people were just doing all they could to get in the church doors every Sunday to be baptized into Christ, having learned the gospel. I wish that was the way it worked. But never has in my lifetime. Probably never will. But I can still do my part. And I hope we all realize that we can do ours, even in a small way. Somebody striving may have more striving than you have. Somebody may have more ability than you have. What Jesus said in Matthew 25, there's a 5-talent, 2-talent, 1-talent man. Maybe that you have way more ability than somebody else. You have way more energy. You have way more youth. I look at my boys. I think there was a time when I had that kind of energy. I don't anymore. That's something they have. I don't have. That's something they can use. And you know what? God's going to hold them accountable for it. If they can use what God gave them. Remember this morning we talked about a steward must be found faithful. So whatever you have, strive with it, work with it, and God will get the increase, God will get the glory. Listen, if you have a need tonight to respond to the invitation, maybe you want to be restored to active service, maybe you want to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and be baptized into Christ this very night. If you believe Jesus Christ is God's Son, you can repent of your sins and be baptized. Confess Jesus, of course, as Lord, be baptized tonight and rise to walk in newness of life and walk faithfully, and you'll have a home in glory forever. You'll be that perfect person presented to Jesus, washed in his blood. But if you have a need tonight for the prayers of the church or any other reason, would you please come as we stand and as we sing?
Is there anybody here that needs to take the Lord's Supper? Okay. If you'll be seated, we'll sing number 90.